You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to this mini-sode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. I'm Kara Cooper.
And I'm Jessica Rush. And today we are talking with artistic director Megan Finn and managing producer Danielle King from The Tank. The Tank is a home to emerging artists from a wide variety of disciplines, including theater, comedy, dance, film, music, puppetry, and storytelling. Each year, they serve over 2,500 artists, present over 1,000 performances, and welcome 36,000 audience members into their space on 38th Street in New York City.
And of course, both Megan and Danielle are mothers of small children. And since the beginning of COVID-19, they have been working from home to continue to support their artists via CyberTank and so many other programs. We are unbelievably impressed by the work they are doing, and we cannot wait for you to hear more.
Welcome, Megan Finn and Danielle King. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks Hello. For having us. Thanks for having us.
We kick off every episode asking about our kids because we think we never get asked that. So let's start with that and then we'll dive into The Tank. Oh my gosh, see what I did there? Diving into The Tank. I had no idea. So tell us about your children.
Well, I just wanted to say that today is a very special day because I'm wearing a shirt that is like like a work shirt, and I put on makeup, and it's just a very special day for me because it's the first day that I've had a single hour of childcare in 6 months.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, no family. My husband and I work full time, and so today our boys started with their little school pod, and I don't even know what to do with myself, but I have a four-year-old son named Isaac and a six-year-old son named Liam.
Oh, wow. And it's your first day of freedom.
It is my first day.
Amazing.
You look fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I have two girls, a six-year-old named Emmeline, we call her Emmy, and a two-and-a-half-year-old, that's right, I did the ages right? Yeah, two-and-a-half-year-old named Rosalind, we call her Rosie.
Oh, I love Rosalind.
It's interesting that Shakespeare.
Of course.
Exactly. There's also a very prominent, a physicist who I think if I remember the story correctly, probably should have gotten a Nobel Prize, but was, you know, robbed of that recognition. Mm. So strong women.
Yep.
That was kind of what we were going for.
Yeah. No, I love it. And my daughter has a friend named Rosalind and they call her Roz. So I just love like the nicknames that can go with, you know, different names. That is Danielle. Danielle has two girls. And Megan, I'm just clarifying it because we can see them, but you guys can't. So Megan has two boys. I love that it's two of each. Both.
Yeah, we kind of, you know, when we're in the office, we're going through a lot of the similar, and even now we're in our virtual office, we're going through a lot of the similar, you know, things because both of our oldest are going into remote learning and we're all kind of navigating the same thing. So kind of compare notes. boys
remember
and girls.
Remember before
no I don't I absolutely don't
well remember. But remember when we talked about the fact that you were this September was gonna mark, Megan, your entry into non-double pickups and drop off. Yes. And I was so jealous. The double pickup and the double drop off are just brutal.
And look at us now.
Yeah.
Look at all of us. Now no pickups and drop offs. Yeah. What I wouldn't give for a pickup and drop off.
I'd go the distance now. Yeah.
All I want is a double pickup and drop off right now. I'm like,
Exactly. Ladies, can you take us back and tell us a little bit about the tank and how, you know, what work you guys do during non-COVID times, just so that our audience is aware?
So, my name is Megan Finn, and I'm the artistic director of The Tank. And The Tank is a nonprofit arts presenter and producer. Our mission is to remove the economic barriers from the creation of new work by emerging artists. We work with over 2,500 artists a year, typically on over 1,000 performances. A big part of what we do is provide free rehearsal and performance space to artists that are just getting started. And so we've seen a lot of artists that come to New York City need a place where they can afford to produce their work, and we kind of give them their first break.
I love that. Oh my gosh. So, I mean, you are there to support these emerging artists doing this incredible work. How did lockdown go for you? How was the thought process of being like, we have this calendar of live events at our space on 38th Street. How are we going to move forward and transfer that into this virtual world, which you did through the Cyber Tank and your annual gala and Pride Fest? You guys, you need to check out their website. They have a weekly virtual variety show plus a full calendar of events. So how did that transition go for you? And then we'll talk a little bit about how you managed to do it all while parenting your small children. But we'll get to that part.
Well, I think the thing about this whole, the beginning of that experience was it was so sudden, and the kind of change and everything was so sudden. And then the loss was so acute in terms of, Megan, what was the final total of shows that you had to email, projects that you had to email and say, you know, it was like, we don't think we're going to do this for the next month. And then it was like, no, actually, we think this is going to be a longer thing. And like, it just keeps going.
Through the end of our fiscal year, it was 273 performances we canceled.
Oh my God. Oh, that breaks my heart like over and over again. It's just, it's hard enough to have a nonprofit in New York City, I think, right? Particularly in theater, and bring to light all the new artists. And it's such a vital part of our community and something that we take for granted, I think, a lot of the time. And what that must have meant for you guys is just heartbreaking.
We were really concerned in the immediate about our artists. The artists had lost everything, because not only their performances, but first, you know, many of the artists were working in the, you know, restaurant industry. So that went away. They didn't have a way to earn income. They lost their home, their space, you know. The Tank is really a community art space. I describe it, we have so many artists there. It's like working in a production of Noises Off every day is what I would say. Because you're backstage and there's just people coming in and out with different props and costumes, and it's just this crazy wild energy. I mean, New York is still alive. Every sense of New York is always still alive in the backstage of The Tank, where our offices are. And so they lost their space, they lost their community, and then they lost the very thing that they do, right? They could no longer have a group of people come together to experience their work. So Danielle can talk about it, but we were really impressed, because our community of artists kind of immediately came together, and Cyber Tank was really born of that.
Yeah, it built up. Oh, hey, sorry, hold on. Remote
on life, learning, real life,
remote real learning. Life. You don't mind. You have to go attend to homeroom Zoom. I'll be right back. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's I'm guessing perfect. That was Emmeline.
Yes. That's Emmy. She's a bright spot in our staff Zooms. She comes in with a big smile and just takes over the whole Zoom. So, oh, love her. She's back.
Okay. All right.
It's real life, Mama. It's all real. Good.
This is exactly what is happening every 45 minutes on a good day. So Cyber Tank. So it kind of originated very organically as just a desire from some of our kind of regular resident artists and our staff to have a place virtually to come together on a weekly basis. And it started as kind of like a gathering space for like public sharing and trying to process what was happening to everyone. So it started to be based around like certain questions or certain themes. And then very quickly, there was a real desire for people to not only come together and see short form work based on a theme and feel like they could extend, like their community extended into this digital space, but also to experiment and make work for this particular digital frame that is not film, it's not theater, it's not it's completely different. We work with a lot of emerging artists and creativity, you know, everyone handles trauma and difficult times differently. And for some people, creative practice is like the way that they move through it and stay grounded, for other people not. And so we've found that there were a lot of people who were yearning to have a platform for whatever it is that they were making and feeling in that moment. And we've found that our audiences also are craving that as well.
Thank goodness, right? I mean, it's like, I think the awareness and the awakening of people to realize just how important live performance and theater and the arts are to our experience as humans, you know, that I think there's an appreciation that's coming into play. Did you guys, with all that, when it first happened and everyone came together, there was this rush of energy and activity, obviously, of wanting to make and create and continue on. Have you noticed? Because I noticed within myself, I pulled away. Like, my husband and I are both actors, and I couldn't bring myself to do anything. I saw everyone else doing things and I felt pressure, but I thought I can't do it. But there's definitely now been, the energy has tapered off some. So have you noticed that there was so much at the beginning, and is it harder for you now to have people continue to fill these spots, or are people just still wanting to get all their work out?
Definitely there was that push in the beginning. There was a lot of conversation about what people should do. I wrote a piece that was in American Theater that was really just me. It started out as a post on social media, but it was really just me thinking about the artists and what they were going through in that moment, and wanting to say to them, listen, you're okay. If you need to stop making art, the making is not who you are. You can be, we need something else from your body right now. Your body.
Sorry, Megan just okay. Made me start crying.
We need something else from your body right now. Your body needs to be protecting of others, and so what? So now is a time to experience life in the way that you can, by exploring other, letting yourself absorb literature or visual art from your home. You know, you need to find a way to get through. And then I think with all of this, it's really about when you're ready, right? And I think right now, as we've seen kind of the press start to embrace virtual programming, some people are ready now. you know, and they're coming to us and saying, you know what? I've been sitting on the sidelines for the last 6 months and now I'm ready. And I want to, and we're the place where people can come and get and start figuring it out, because I'm a director and I'm telling you, it's a totally different thing to do this online. It's such a different space. And it's, and you know what? There are silver linings, like you're rehearsing from your home. So I cut you from a call and you're like, cool, I'm going to go make a sandwich. You know, I don't, you know, there's certain things that are, that just emerge from the experience. But I think we've seen now that, and I think the projects are getting bigger now. They're getting more kind of robust, and we're finding new forms because people are like, oh, people are actually paying attention and the press is starting to write about it. And so yeah. I think there's room for everybody's feelings, basically.
Absolutely. I mean, I had a similar experience to Jessica. We both pulled away, like literally just went into like a cocoon of self-protection and preservation. But I think it's really interesting that you're saying that there's, you know, kind of this more emerging interest. And I think it's because the longevity of this is really becoming fact. And in the beginning, it was like, what can we put out there quickly? How can we continue to create? And now it's the long form. We're in it for the long game. You know, how are we going to marry this virtual world, possibly in the future, with a more in-person world? Or how is that transition going to happen? And I do think, you know, like every dark time in history, we've talked about this a little bit, Jessica, that there's usually a renaissance of art that comes from it. Because people have lived through something really difficult. And the way they process it is a lot of the times through art, whether it be in the moment or post, after it's been digested and the trauma has been reflected upon. But it makes me excited to hear you talk about artists coming to you and wanting to be a part of something and get their work out there in a new form that is foreign to them. And, you know, all this has a learning curve. You know, when we signed on to this, we're just, you know, figuring out our sound and how to get everything set up correctly. So we're all having to kind of start from square one, which is really interesting. So switching gears a little bit, you obviously are both mothers. So before COVID happened, you were balancing parenthood with running this nonprofit, which is in and of itself a huge accomplishment. But how was balancing parenthood through, you know, creating this virtual platform, being home with your family? I mean, Megan, you said this is the first day you've had childcare. I mean, I can't really wrap my mind around it. So can you tell us a little bit how that was, how you made it happen? Any tips for our audience listeners? I don't know.
Oh my gosh, tips. I don't know. It's just, it's a daily figure. It's a complete resetting as much as you can. For me, it was a complete resetting of expectation and how far ahead to look. And I am a planner. I like deadlines. I like to be able to see where I'm going and the big picture. And this entire experience has taught me that, like, living in uncertainty, there is a way to do that. It's not going to kill me. It's not going to kill my family. So that, I don't know if I necessarily have, like, advice that would be helpful to anybody, but I do think it was what I am trying to do is just shift my expectations and my long-term, it's just a different like distance that I'm looking at.
Right. We're planning for like the next day as opposed, because right. I'm a planner too. And I just, you know, Kara and I both are very type A in that way. I'm like, all right, what is tomorrow? And then what is the next day? And taking it one at a time. And giving ourselves as much grace as we can, right?
Yeah, I mean, totally. And I think as folks in this industry, there's been an evolving conversation before this, right? Because, you know, thinking about when I got pregnant and the kind of fear real genuine fear about work and even revealing that you're pregnant. There's a really wonderful actor, Broadway actress, who's a mom in the neighborhood with me, and she was saying, you know, when she said that she put on social media when she first got pregnant, and someone posted, "The American theater will miss you."
I've heard that story. We had that. I believe we've had her on.
Oh, okay. So yeah. And it was that whole thing, right? It, even though we'd been both kind of, Danielle and I are constantly talking about how to normalize parenthood, you know, for the, you know,
absolutely,
as, you know, and making it front and center. It's been front and center the last 6 months because they're in the meeting with us. So, you know, it's when you talk about giving yourself grace, there's also this superwoman thing, right? That just isn't during this time. You cannot fake it till you make it, even,
right? But isn't it so hard to switch that? I mean, Kara and I were literally texting about this morning. Like, I literally wrote the word super mom, you know what I mean? Like,
it's so
ingrained in us to take on all the things and be everything to everyone, and the guilt we have when someone else has to pick up the slack. I mean, but we can't do it. This is not sustainable for the long term.
My kids, you know, they watch, yesterday, I think, because I was doing my version of, I was doing my shift on the pod. So the kids were playing for a long time. I mean, that was the longest day without screen and it wasn't a totally screen free day. Don't get me wrong, but it was the first in a long time. I mean, I would have never thought that my kids would be on the screens or video games or everything else.
Oh, I know.
Like, that would never be in my agenda, but I have no choice. I've had no choice. There's nowhere else for them to go or do, you know? And so anyway, so yeah. And forgiving, you know, you just have to say, and then of course, I'm sure it comes up again and again, gotten to know my kids, right? Never spent this much time in their whole lives with them.
Yep.
So there is a kind of special, bizarre thing about this time, because we all know that the only reason we have jobs in this industry is because we've hustled our asses off so long, right?
Yeah.
And part of that is we gotta have childcare. We gotta balance and juggle so much to just be a working parent, and then to have a reason to be around our kids this much is like one of the only silver linings of this whole thing, you know, I'd say.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely, I think sometimes it helps me to think about the fact that when my kids are older, they're not going to want to have anything to do with me. And I'm going to, this is like something that kind of gets me through things. And it's like, okay, well, they're going to just be off wherever they are, and they're not going to want to just spend a moment with me. So lucky me to be with young children during a pandemic.
Take it, try it. Yeah. I mean, try to remember that and just soak in those moments, right? Like soak in the fact that you're doing imaginative play and improving all day, every day.
So much singing, so much.
So much.
I've also gotten to see, you know, my girls were not super, they were just getting, like, they weren't super close. Like, Emmy sort of like looked at her little sister from afar for a long time and was like, great, the baby stays there and I'm in my personal space over here, and it's a very large bubble and the baby's just doing what the baby's doing. And now they're like besties, because otherwise they don't have anybody to play with.
Yeah.
And that's been really, I don't know, who knows if that'll last, but like, that's been really like, it's like, okay, let's grab onto that moment and keep it for a minute. And then like, let's grab on to like the funny, really, really funny thing that the toddler says, or the joke that that Emmy says. She's like an amazing joke teller right now. Like, let me just piece those moments together and maybe I can get through it.
This isn't a tip, but it's like something that happened to me, which is I was getting my desk ready, right? I was finally making a place for myself to sit and work after 6 months in the apartment.
After six months.
And I found the stack of pictures that I had printed 2 years ago with the intention of putting them in the baby book that I never had actually put in the baby book. So I did a hack job and like cut them up and slapped them in there. But I was like, I am the best mom in the whole world. And so, and you know, they have those things where you write little you write notes about what they were doing when they were teething, or, you know, little anecdotes. And it says year four. Sorry. So I wrote a little note to my son about the pandemic and his experience in the pandemic. And I realized that it's not going to last forever. Okay. It's not going to last forever. It might last a very long time, but it's not going to last forever. And then one day in this book, he's going to look back at this piece of his little history and know that it wasn't forever. But it's so hard to hold on to that when the data is just so intense. And, you know, and going through remote learning and decisions about school and decisions, all of these overwhelming things in 2020, it's hard to hold on to that. It's not going to be forever that that's happening in their little lives. So.
It's like just impossible decisions every single day.
It's just, I think most of motherhood is decision fatigue in general, right? You have to make decisions about everything, like what shoes to buy them, what to pack them for lunch, what jacket is going to be right, what tutor do you need for this? I mean, it's constant decision making. And then add on top this global pandemic, and every decision is so heavy. Every decision you make is so weighted. And I think that decision fatigue, I saw it in a post probably 2 months ago, and I was like, ding, 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 ding. That is it. That is what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah. My God, for me, it's like I have to decide what we're eating for dinner every night. And I've never had to do that. I'm normally at the theater. Someone else is figuring it out. Right. I'm exhausted.
Right. No, it's true.
And also I used to know I had this like rhythm of how to get everybody, like how to get ready for the next day at night. I had a rhythm for how to get everybody like breakfast and out the door. And then they still need breakfast, but somehow it's completely different.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I've like lost my fit. Like there's a physical movement that I used to do every day that I have lost in terms of like a choreography. And I don't have it anymore.
I mean, it's so helpful to hear y'all say that. You know what I mean? I mean, we talk about it to a certain degree on other episodes, but I think this is like the first time since that we've really broken down the ins and outs and the detail of just what we're feeling in this moment. And perhaps that's because we're 6 months in now, you know, and we're recognizing that this is going to be our for now normal for a while. Mm-hmm. Which is maddening.
It's maddening.
When you were talking about the photos and writing the note to your son, I think about, I mean, we've documented as a family this time really well. We're taking pictures of everything that we're doing. We went for a hike. Let's take a picture, you know, trying to make an event out of everything. Mm-hmm. And when I look back at the photos from the beginning of this time, it feels so different, right? So even just documenting how different it feels now, I think gives, I don't know if hope is the right word, but gives perspective on the fact that it isn't going to last forever. And it is an ever kind of evolving situation of uncertainty, yes, but it's not stagnant in a very bizarre way, even though it feels like it is. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. The emotions associated with lockdown and the panic, and kind of we went into this high adrenaline survival mode.
Yeah.
We're in a different portion of that now. You know, yeah. We're still in survival mode, but it looks and feels different.
Yeah, we got the fanny pack, and the fanny pack has the hand sanitizer in it. Yes. We got the mask, and the kids know the mask that they like and the ones that they don't like.
Yeah.
And you're just like, so you got the extra mask in the fanny. Like, it's like you do have, it's a different there's not the same panic.
No. And I remember in the beginning being like, do I have to get masks for the whole family? Is that,
I know.
That's something I have to do? Like, I couldn't wrap my head around it.
Another decision.
All the decisions.
Yeah, yeah, all the decisions. Well,
they even, you know, like, my kids will even be like, oh, that person's not wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Or like, we have to keep our distance. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I don't know. Sadly, we've all sort of like grown and learned a little bit and been able to like figure out how to move and be in these, in this world. And it just makes it, with little kids, it just makes then it easier to like all that anxiety about going outside or going somewhere. Like, it just alleviates that just enough to be able to actually do something and make it feel like a different day.
Well, ladies, as we look toward the future, right, can you tell us a little bit about what the tank has planned for? What do the next 6 months look like for you guys? I mean, what have y'all decided, and how can our listeners support you? Or
we have a couple of really large projects, and I'm just going to talk about them, right?
Please do.
Danielle? I think you should.
Okay.
Oh, you were asking Dan. Yeah, I just did.
So we are doing an adaptation of Prometheus Bound that's being directed by Ron Jha, who's an incredible young director who has been in residency at the Tank for the last couple of years, has directed some wonderful co-productions. And we're essentially staging it in an empty theater and going to film it very cinematically. And it's so we're figuring it out. For that, we're just trying this experiment basically, and doing it with remote rehearsals, choreography in the park, under the media and production guidelines from the state that we've all learned. So it's a big try. And then after that, we are doing a project with a conceptual artist and sculptor named Pedro Reyes. That is a project called Mañana Land, which envisions a utopian future where the current political traumas of the moment are behind us and what that might look like. So Mañana Land is a project that brings together a group of five very different writers who Johnny Lloyd, our newly appointed director of artistic development, has put together this team. And essentially, we're making this experience that's going to be a augmented reality scavenger hunt that takes place in the five boroughs of New York.
That sounds so exciting. I love the scavenger hunt.
With this app, Scavenger. And so you're going to be able to kind of enter Mañana Land through these scavenger hunts that happen on your device. And see different things as you look around with the device. So those are the big projects that we've got cooking right now. And then, you know, we're continuing our Cyber Tank programming. We have people submitting every day. There's going to be a big push. It's the 4-year anniversary of our series Fast and Furious, which is a short form work in progress series where artists respond to current events of the past 7 days with short works. We've been doing this for 4 years. Wonder why. And and so this next month is really going to be dedicated to programming around Fast and Furious and giving our artists a forum to educate one another about the direct political actions that they're doing and also present work. So that's what we have cooking.
Just
that's
a couple
amazing
things.
I want to watch and join in on all of them. I literally am like, oh, that's good. Oh, I want to do that.
Even if you're in Cali, there'll be a way to experience a scavenger hunt in your own home. So stay tuned.
Ooh, fun. That sounds awesome. And you guys, you can find them at thetanknyc.org, right? Everything will be listed on there.
Everything's there.
All that.
And for any of our listeners who want to submit work, is that also on the website where they submit?
Yeah, you can go to the Tank, and we operate under open submissions for CyberTank. So if you have something you really want to make and you just haven't sort of figured out how to do it, we can help you with platforms. We'll help you with marketing and press and get your work out there. So yeah, visit our website and you can submit your projects to CyberTank.
And you can donate to support the Tank.
Oh yeah, we'll take it. Because we both decided, you know, on March 15th that we were going to push. And even if we were covered in babies, we're going to open this theater again. So every little dollar that you can contribute helps us support artists. We're able to pay artists with CyberTank. We're able to keep our space going. And so every dollar, we stretch it as far as we can. So thanks in advance.
Thank you.
Thank y'all for making that commitment and deciding to do that and all the work you're doing. It's fantastic. And all while pandemic parenting with your small children. So thank you, ladies, for making time today. I love this conversation. I did too. Yeah.
I'm inspired by you guys, truly. I mean, the fact that everything that you've been able to accomplish during this time, it's possible. It's not easy, but it's possible.
It is. Just give yourself a break and just get up and look in the mirror and say, nothing's going to fucking stop me and you'll be fine.
Yes. I love it.
We can do hard things.
We can do hard things. Thank you so much, ladies. Be well and stay safe.
Thank you, too.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. Special shout outs to Rachel Spencer Hewitt for our fabulous graphic, Kristen Anderson Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Ward Weber for our awesome theme song, our producers Dory Berenstein, Alan Seals, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
If you like what you're hearing and you want to keep the conversation going, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and of course, subscribe and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.